Justify is the leader, but it's just a half-length advantage here. Vino Rosso comes under a ride. Mike Smith has not asked Justify to go just yet. Justify a length lead here as they come to the top of the stretch.
We're off to the races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
And we've already been out to California this weekend. Mike Smith will join us on Off to the Races. I got a chance to speak with him just before we came on the air, and he will join us in about 10, 15 minutes, recorded. He had to work out some horses, but he spent some time with us. A very plain name, but a very exceptional career. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us on Off to the Races. And on today's show, we'll speak with Debbie Warnick, of Harness Horsemen, Director of the Virginia Harness Horsemen's Association, President, and she'll join us on Off to the Races here in just mere moments. And then also, we mentioned Mike Smith. Frank Vespi is done playing dodgeball with the Hurricanes down in the Caribbean. He's going to join us in about a half hour, returning to his segment. He'll interview trainer Brittany Russell. And, of course, Derby Bill Watson. We'll see what he has in store. It's a major racing weekend. We're 5 weeks away from the Breeders' Cup. And, of course, that means the last start. Three win-and-you're-in races this weekend is part of the Breeders' Cup lead-up. Of course, the Breeders' Cup November 4th and 5th at Keeneland. Five more weeks of Off to the Races, believe it or not. So thanks again for spending your Saturday morning with us. Let's go back to last week, though. The feature race was the Pennsylvania Derby, just a big day on the card there. And this was just an assemblage of really good horses. Tawny Port, Cyberknife had gotten the best of Taba. Zandon was sort of an emerging horse. The Florida Derby, very accomplished horses. White Aberio winning the Florida Derby. We the People winning the Peter Pan. And they all got together at Parks last weekend. Here is the call of how the Pennsylvania Derby finished.
A quarter mile left to go, and Simplification takes it right to White Abadio. Here comes Taba, who's looming up on the outside, and Taba has taken the lead. It's Taba and Simplification out in the center of the racetrack. Zandon from way out of it for a final furlong. Taba's got the front end, but here comes Zandon, who's rolling late. A 16th to go. It's Taba in the center of the racetrack, but Taba is drawing away, and Taba with Mike Smith, they win the Bet Parks Pennsylvania Derby.
We'll get plenty from Mike Smith here in a few minutes talking about Taba, a winner for trainer Bob Baffert and owner Zidane Racing Stables. So Taba obviously is going to go on to the Breeders' Cup Classic, where he'll face some older horses and some giants like Flightline and Life is Good. So it's a great three-year-old class, but they're going to be running into a great four-year-old class as well. It's racing season up at Shenandoah Downs up in Woodstock, Virginia. Just looked on the radar. Some nice racing yesterday. I saw where Roger Hammer won two races yesterday. And it looks like, at least for the moment, it may not be raining up there. So we'll get an update here with Debbie Warnick, who joins us on Off to the Races this morning. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for spending some time with us. And I'm assuming you're up at Woodstock this morning, but of course your farm is based in Saluda, Virginia, out in Middlesex County. It's great with these harness horse farms. They're literally located all over the state. And but just kind of getting, I know hurricanes and storms, and even though this is a hurricane, it feels more like a nor'easter. How's everything on the Middle Peninsula and in Woodstock this morning?
Well, Woodstock is a little damp. At the moment, it's just a little bit of drizzle, but we had a lot of rain overnight. So we're dealing with some wet stalls and things, but everybody's looking forward to racing today. Hopefully the rain's going to hold off, not be bad. The wind, there's not much wind at all at the moment. So it's looking good for us at the moment.
Yeah, no, the radar actually looks promising, at least for the moment. Hopefully it holds off till you get through, I think it was 13 races, kind of an extended card today at Shenandoah, as I like to call it. Just really love the atmosphere there with the fall conditions and everything. You have a great kind of story in terms of your participation and how you got into harness racing. You didn't really follow the conventional career path, perhaps, working as a construction foreman and being, what was the restaurant that you owned out in the middle, in Middlesex?
It was called Debbie's Restaurant.
Debbie's, okay. And believe it or not, in a former life, I was a public official in Middlesex County, worked as a planner. And so some of this, it was familiar with plenty of the restaurants and Carol's and back in the day. That was way, that's a long time ago, but even awful authors. But, you know, tell us about how you got involved in harness racing and kind of your a little bit of background, your path moving up.
Well, condensed version of the story. My husband, when I met him, was actually a harness racing fan. We lived in Maryland at the time, and he was just a fan, went to the tracks, Free State, which is no longer there, and a couple of the other Rosecroft, which is still existing. And him and his father were just harness racing fans. So when I first met him, and we would go to the track and just be a fan and bet on races and things like that, and then we moved to Virginia. And actually hooked up with, met a couple people through the restaurant that would come in at, were in the area that were in harness racing as trainers and drivers. So my husband started hanging out with them. And the next thing I know, we had 14 horses. So he went from being a fan to being a trainer and a driver and an owner. And I just kind of went along for the ride. Since then, we've bred and foaled 14 horses at our house in Saluda, which have all gone on to race. And then, I guess six, seven years ago now, the person who was doing the executive director job, which mostly is dealing with the paperwork and all that kind of stuff for the Virginia Harness Horse Association, retired, and they asked me to take it over, and I've been doing that ever since.
Yeah, and now you have this established meet at Woodstock, Virginia. Just very great air, good time of year. The town seems to really embrace the meet, and the meet embraces the town, which is the cooperation that you really like to see there. And now you have incentives. You know, maybe talk a little bit about the incentives.
Well, we have a couple different programs here in Virginia. We have
what has been great established, a great establishment there at Shenandoah Downs. Go ahead.
Okay, I lost you there for just a second. Cell phone technology. Woodstock, just to go back to that for a second, the Woodstock area is wonderful. The people here are the best fans that there are any track I've ever been to, and the drivers who come from all over the country. We have 12 states in Canada that are here racing now. Just talk about how wonderful our fans are. They're supportive from the first horse going past to the last horse going past. The grandstand here, they've had racing here in Shenandoah County at the fair, which harness racing, which we sponsor for 106 years now. So it's really a tradition here. The grandstand is still the original grandstand, and any given day we'll have 400 or 500 people in the grandstand from the area. So Woodstock is really, really supportive of us. And then in turn, we support the fairgrounds because that's where we race at. So everything we do at the fairgrounds to help with harness racing, like the pad that we put in recently and all that, that helps the fairgrounds with their activities during the whole year. So it works for both of us.
You have a couple horses in today, Leroy Skipping School, and what was it, Baltimore Jackin. You know, tell us maybe a little bit about those two and just the excitement of being the owner of a horse. You can do that on through some of the promotions that you have there.
Right, right. But Leroy Skipping School, he is actually a three-year-old Virginia bred. We did not breed him. We bought him from someone else who did. So he will be racing in our what we call our stakes program or Breeders' Fund program. And that's a program that's set up for horses who are born in Virginia or bred to a Virginia stallion or owned by a Virginia resident when they're bred. And they race as two-year-olds and three-year-olds. And the purses for those is $80,000 for the final. It went up last year. And as our funds continue to grow, we hope to increase all of that some. And then Baltimore Jack, he's just an old veteran horse. He's actually was bred in New Zealand. That's what the N stands for. And we picked him up a couple of years ago. And he just likes to go out and race. He ought to do well today because yep. He likes the mud and the slop. So
you got Hulu up there as well. Don't want to leave Hulu out.
Yeah, Hulu, he's a good horse. We've had him for a little while now. We didn't breed him. But he's just an old, you know, racehorse that just likes to race in the overnights, and he does fairly well in the mud and the slop too. So I'm hoping for a good day since we've got mud and slop everywhere.
Great. Yeah. Well, good. Certainly a great venue, a little bit of a toss back in time, but we kind of like that, with racing and hopefully that rain will stay away from you today and good luck today with your interest and good luck with the rest of the meet. I really encourage people to get up there and take a look at, the racing at Shenandoah Downs. It is really great.
Great. Yep. It is a great place to come and watch races, even if you're not participating in it as a, you know, an owner or trainer or driver or anything. It is a great place to come and watch the races. We do our own horse promotions where the fans actually get to own a racehorse for a race. They go down in the paddock and hang out with that. So, and then they win the purse that the owner would win for that horse. So that's a great thing for the fans. So you can come be a fan and maybe get to own a racehorse for a day.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, it is absolutely great atmosphere. Hopefully the raindrops go the other way today and you get through the card. And good luck with the rest of the meet. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you.
Deborah Warnick joining us from Woodstock this morning on Off to the Races. And the weather, it's Santa Anita racing out there, no issues. Perfect weather, no rain, 60s to 70s. Same thing in Louisville, where Churchill Downs has a couple of nice stakes races. New York, not so much, upper 50s. It looks like the rain could be ending there, but it could also get restarted. So I think they'll get a little bit of relief. Hopefully they'll be able to slip their racing in. Laurel will be off the turf today. And at Shenandoah, you just heard probably the coolest temperature of all the tracks that we sort of highlight today. Shenatoga will be in the upper 50s today. And hopefully they'll be able to duck all the raindrops. Want to reach out now to Mike Smith, who I spoke to just before we came on the air on Off to the Races this morning. And Mike was kind enough to reflect back on some of the horses that he rode, namely Zenyatta and Justify, who won the Triple Crown in 2018, and a couple of horses moving ahead. Here's what Mike had to say.
This morning, we're joined with jockey Mike Smith, the Hall of Famer, on Off to the Races this morning. And let's start off with talking about a couple of horses that are very well known. While Mike Smith may seem like a plain name for a jockey, he certainly has ridden some of the most prolific horses in the sport, a career in racing that the length and duration of the show won't allow us to list all of his accomplishments. But let's maybe start with Zenyatta, who was an exceptional filly and mare that Mike Smith rode. And Mike, let's maybe just start there because that was such a big horse. And tell us just a little bit with the Zenyatta being held tomorrow at Santa Anita, opening this weekend in their return to racing. You have a mount, Soothsay, in the Zenyatta tomorrow, but tell us just about how special of a horse Zenyatta was.
Well, it's just, it's hard to describe, to be honest with you. You know, if you, you had to have seen her, you know, to actually really truly understand how special she was. She was just, not only was she a big, beautiful, extremely well and beyond above average racehorse, she was just incredible. The whole show, you know, the way she came into the paddock and she did that dance and she would intimidate other horses with her size and the moves she would make. It was just, the whole thing was a show. You had to have seen it to really understand it and to believe it. You know, she was just something else. And not to mention, she was just incredible. I think her running style also made a whole lot to do with it, with her always coming from last or way back and just running by horses with such ease. It was unbelievable. I don't know if I'll ever sit on another mare like that ever again.
You mentioned her running style. Dwayne Lucas said earlier this year on the show, talking about Secret Oath and how fillies generally like to, he likes them on the front end. He doesn't like them to fall too far behind in a race. Zenyatta really broke the mode if it's a stereotype. She really was that unconventional, wasn't she?
Yeah, it was just her style. It was just the way she wanted to run. She probably could have speed with that turn of foot that she had. If she'd ever used it leading there instead of, you know, later on, she probably could have been really quick if she wanted to be. She was, for such a big horse, she was extremely athletic, really agile. She could have probably done anything, but she just loved to sit back there and watch him and then just run by him anytime she wanted to. She wasn't your normal mare. Matter of fact, she was bigger than all the boys as well. She was just a big, powerful thing, but didn't move like a real big horse. She moved like a deer for her size. It was just incredible.
Moving a little forward in your career now, back to 2018, the big horse was Justify. A horse that we kind of thought his career might have ended with that Belmont Stakes win, winning the Triple Crown, but we're seeing in the breeding shed that it may have just sort of started there. I mean, Justify was a big horse like Zenyatta. Are we still trying to find out kind of the legacy of Justify? Will his sire career end of that? Because he's just a big horse, retired, undefeated. What do we make of Justify from a legacy standpoint?
Well, I mean, you said a lot of it there. He's the only Triple Crown horse to go undefeated. You know, we would all love to have seen his 4-year-old year. There's no telling how good this horse could have gotten. He was just a man amongst boys at that age, at that stage anyway of his career. That's why he was able to do what he did with such, you know, I mean, no one had ever won the Derby without running as a 2-year-old since Apollo. You know, it had been so many, many years, and along comes this big, beautiful giant, so athletic, very, very intelligent for such a young horse. You show him one time, and that's all it took, and he didn't mess up. You put him in the gate, he looked right down the gate, and as soon as they opened for such a big horse, he was the first one out of there, put himself in a great spot, and had a high cruising speed and could run forever. And it's starting to show now in his offspring. I think he's going to be an incredible sire, man. I can't wait to get to ride a few of them myself, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I really think that down the road you're going to see this horse be one of the top sires of all time.
Just Cindy, just a warrior among his winners so far, a couple of Irish winners as well among his horses. Let's kind of move up to modern day here with Taiba winning the Pennsylvania Derby. We played that replay earlier in the show, and this has been an exceptional Well, it's been a good exceptional 3-year-old class. It's kind of held together. Not a lot of defections, but it's also a class that's kind of moving up against a good and emerging older fleet of horses, with horses like Flight Line and Life Is Good moving toward the Breeders' Cup Classic. First off, just your thoughts on the Pennsylvania Derby win, where coming off the rail like that and winning in pretty dominant fashion there. What'd you make of last week's Pennsylvania Derby?
Well, it just showed you that he's mature, and he took the kickback in his face a whole lot better this time. Whereas the time before in the Haskell, he was pretty green with it when it hit him in the face. It probably cost him the race. He won his fifth back then. He was coming off a long layoff, and he won his fifth back then. He was going to need that race regardless. But with a clear, smooth trip that day, it could have been a different outcome. With who knows? They both set the track record that day, so it was it was pretty incredible on both horses, Cyberknife and his part. They both ran really well. But he just showed you how much he moved forward from that race. His training was incredible heading into the race. He handled the dirt a whole lot better. And when I got him out, man, he showed me a turn of foot on the dirt that you don't often ever feel unless they're way above average and they're great. And he seems to be that. He still has a ways to go. He's only run 5 times, but he seems to be getting bigger and better every time. He's certainly going to have to this next one to step it up, and it's going to be a tough, tough race. But he proved that he belonged last Saturday in the Classic, so we'll see what happens.
In that race, he comes off the turn on the rail and just a classic patient ride, stalking position. It's almost to an untrained eye, we knew you had the horse under control, but how hard is it to go from on the rail, basically slingshot wide like that, and do it with control where you don't basically spin out? I mean, that was certainly you have to have the horse, but that is some jockey skill there. How difficult is that? Easy to do, or is it hard to do?
Well, when you got a horse that's so athletic as he is, it certainly helps. He's like a running back. He can go side to side almost as quick, as he could jump forward. But it's just something you do gradually. When the outside horse started to falter a little bit, I knew that gap was going to come open. So I just gradually try to head that way and not make it too sudden and too drastic of a move. And he just slid out sideways so nice. And once he did and got clear of the kickback, man, I mean, like I said, he just accelerated and set me back in the saddle again. It was quite the feeling. And then finished on really nice to beat a really, really solid bunch of 3-year-olds. I mean, I guess the only horse that would have been Epicenter would have been the only 3-year-old left out of that race. But other than him, he beat all the ones that have been running against each other pretty handy. So again, it was a big move forward. He's going to have to move forward from that race, but I think it's there. I think there's room to grow, and I'm excited about his future down the road.
We're speaking with Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith on Off to the Races this morning. Let's look at the card today. The Awesome Again, Royal Ship, 3-1 in the morning line. And first off, I want to thank you, because I actually had Royal Ship when he won the San Diego at almost 10-1. So I want to personally thank you there. But it's a win and you're in race for the Breeders' Cup. It's going to be great weather at Santa Anita today. What do you make of the mount ahead of you today with Royal Ship?
Not without a big chance. When he runs his A race, man, he's shown in the past that he certainly belongs with any of them, and can beat just about all of them. He of course, we all ran into Flight Line last time out, in the Pacific Classic, but it was a strangely run race. There wasn't much pace in the race. It looked like there was going to be a whole lot more pace, and there just wasn't really much pace at all. And I found myself in an awkward position, and it probably cost him a better battle at second you know, no one was going to be flatlined that day, but it cost him a better battle at second that day when that happened. So if he'll come back and run his A race, I look for him to run Hughes today. He's got a lot of talent, a lot of class. You know, he's just got to, when he puts it together and decides he's going to run his A race, well, you know, he's second to none. He's a really, really nice, talented horse. So hopefully he'll do that today, and if that's the case, he'll be tough to beat.
Tomorrow in the Zenyatta, a race you won before they could name it Zenyatta because Zenyatta kept running and winning races, but you won this race with Beholder, another nice filly. Soothsay is your mount, 2-1 in the morning line, going up against Midnight Memories.
Yeah, you know, she's got a lot to do. She's coming off a long, long layoff, only had one race. Got caught down inside, was taking a lot of kickback her first race back. Didn't run quite like we all hoped she would and thought she would. She was training better than that. She's back training well again. It's just one of those. She's one of those fillies. I just gotta wait and see if she's gonna come back and be as good as she was before she had to take that break. You know, so the jury's still out yet on her as far as that. If she'll come back and run as good as she was as a 3-year-old, then we're okay. You know, if she doesn't, well, it's a different story. Hopefully, she'll do that.
Well, Mike, we appreciate you spending some time with us, especially knowing that you have to work out a horse ahead of us this morning and getting up early on the West Coast. Who are you working out this morning?
I'm working Colt for Mark Lapp.
Okay, great. Great. Well, thanks. We appreciate you taking the time, being so gracious with that. And good luck today as well as tomorrow at Santa Anita. Big Money Mike joining us on Off to the Races. We appreciate it, Mike.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. I wish I had more time, but I got to get running.
Well, you gave us plenty, and we are truly thankful for it. Thank you, Mike, and good luck today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Big Money Mike, ageless, 57 years old, came back from breaking two vertebrae and spending considerable amount of time in a body cast. He only has over 5,600 wins and over 35,000 starts. He is truly ageless. Just a little bit of an update. No racing at Monmouth today because of the hurricane action, so won't have any racing from there. TV coverage today. NBC has coverage between 4 and 6. And, of course, Fox Sports 2 has their usual America's Day at the Races coverage from 12:30 to 4:30 and then 6 to 6:30. And those Santa Anita races will be on FDTV, the former TVG, as well. So just where you can watch some racing action as you flip through some of the college football Saturdays. Also, just a note from the hurricane issues. Tampa Bay Downs fared very well through the storm, so as well as many of the farms down there. So we haven't been able to report any bad news about incidents concerning the storm and the horse population down there in Florida. So that's very good news if it stays that way, and we certainly hope so. Just checked with Barry Spears, a guest on our show, former Virginia Union basketball player. He doesn't have any power. He has a bunch of leaf litter in his backyard, but otherwise everything else seems to be okay with him as well. So we're going to head to break here on Off to the Races. When we come back, we'll catch up with Frank Vespi, who rejoins the show on the other side. You're listening to Off to the Races, sponsored by theracingbiz.com.
Mark your calendars for the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks to be run once again on the same night, Friday, August 26th. This spectacular card features 7 stakes races worth over $2.4 million in purses. A special first post time is scheduled for 5 o'clock Eastern under the Friday night lights. Live racing moves back to a Thursday through Saturday schedule starting in June with first post at 7 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to join us this summer for the best racing West Virginia has to offer. Here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Harness the mountain magic at Shenandoah Downs this fall as harness racing returns to Woodstock, Virginia for an 8-week season that continues through November 6th. Watch, wager, and win 10 times each race day. Happy Hour every Friday starts at 3 o'clock and features $2 draft beers and $1 hot dogs. Saturday racing starts at 1 o'clock. And for the first time ever, fans can bet on Shenandoah Downs via TVG, ExpressBet, Twin Spires, and Naira Bets. Details are on shenandoahdowns.com.
The leading sire of PA-bred two-year-old winners in 2021. Peace and Justice is the hottest young sire in Pennsylvania. Recently, the PHBA announced even more incentives, making now the time to breed and race in Pennsylvania. This year, over $600,000 in purses will be offered with the first-ever Pennsylvania two-year-old stallion series. Call today and book your mare to Peace and Justice, the only son of Warfront standing in Pennsylvania. Learn more at peaceandjusticepa.com.
Champion Gunrunners, Full Brother Fortune Ticket, and the regally bred Group 1 winner Long River are just two of the exciting young stallions standing at Maryland's Anchor and Hope Farm. In his first year at stud, Fortune Ticket figures to be a hot commodity, standing for a fraction of the price of his big brother. And Long River's first runner should hit the track this year. Also at Anchor and Hope are leading regional stallions like Holy Boss, Editorial, Bourbon Courage, and Imagining. Anchor and Hope Farm, bringing the best to the Mid-Atlantic. Learn more at anchorhopefarm.com.
Mark your calendars for Saturday, October 8th and the 36th annual West Virginia Breeders' Classic at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. It's the premier night of racing for West Virginia breds on the calendar and features this year Charlestown Classic runner-up Wadib. He'll look to join the likes of the great Russell Road as the repeat winner of the Sam Huff West Virginia Breeders' Classic. The card features 10 stakes races worth a total of $1 million. It's the 36th annual West Virginia Breeders' Classics on Saturday, October 8th at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Welcome back, everybody. Frank Vespi here on Off to the Races Radio, powered by the Racing Biz. Going to be joined now by trainer Brittany Russell. Brittany, the trainer of Where She Told Me to Go, who won the Newcastle Stakes yesterday at Delaware Park. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for making a little bit of time on a Saturday. I know you got a lot going on, so let's jump right in here. You got, I just mentioned Where She Told Me to Go, won yesterday, second consecutive win in the Newcastle Stakes, 17th win in his career. More than $950,000 in earnings, creeping up on that $1 million mark. What's it mean to you in the barn to have a horse like this guy?
Oh, it just, he's so special for so many reasons. I mean, to see a horse, you know, 7 years old, you know, fairly consistent his whole career, you know, just continuing to do what he's doing, It's awesome, and you know, for my team as well, the job they've done to manage him and to keep him happy and at the top of his game, it's you know, it's a lot of fun, and you know, you're having a bad week and this horse picks you up. So that's exactly what he did. I mean, the barn, you know, everybody this morning, they, you know, it's just everyone seemed to have a little bit of a pep in their step, and you know, it's thanks to the big red horse.
What is he like in the barn?
He's a character, you know, he's a big horse, you know, high energy, you know, kind of touts himself and, but friendly horse. He always, you know, he hears a peppermint wrapper and his head's out of his stall. And, you know, he's just a fun horse. He is a kind soul. He loves to go out in his round pen in the morning and have a roll. I mean, his training schedule is, very unlike many horses. He has a special way of being managed, and he seems to respond to it. So we're just going to keep it going.
Now, you mentioned to me yesterday when we talked after the Newcastle that you had kind of trained him lightly coming into that race, even though he had been off for almost 3 months. Is that part of it? You just kind of have to handle him with a little bit of kid gloves?
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, it seems like we just are able to keep his health in better order in that way. And, you know, yesterday, look, the horse on the inside of him ran a huge race, and, you know, Where She Told Me to Go still put his nose down. He still got the job done. But I was sweating it a little bit thinking, oh my gosh, maybe I should have done a bit more with him. But, at the end of the day, it's racing. And I think that's how it set up yesterday, and he still got the job done. So.
He feels to me, you know, looking at his races this year, and you guys have handled him
very sort of judiciously. He's only made four starts, but they've all been wins. You know, and he's seen a couple of fields that were really pretty good. You know, the Alapocas run had a couple of graded stakes winners in it. He saw Jackson Traveler earlier. And then a couple of the other fields weren't maybe as strong as that. And it feels to me, and I'm curious as to whether this is just me making this up or whether you guys see it in a similar way, it feels to me like he's sort of figured out what he needs to do to win. And he's going to maybe give you a little more when the field's a little tougher and maybe not quite as much when it's a little bit easier. Is that how you guys see it or no?
I wouldn't disagree with that. You know, but also too, as said yesterday, maybe, you know, I would have liked to have had a run in him before yesterday's race. It just wasn't in the cards for us. So, you know, he might have run a touch better than he did. Not saying that, you know, winning a stakes a bad race by any means, but you know, that you could say that, but on the other hand too, like I do feel maybe it's a bit how we have to handle him, and you know, had he had a run in between, maybe it would have been looked a little more impressive. But you know, he is a smart horse. He's smart and he knows his job and he gets it done, so I can't completely disagree with that.
Yeah, and it's all you could ask of him. Win races. That's all you need him to do. So
yeah, exactly.
Talking with trainer Brittany Russell here on Off to the Races. And Brittany, let's talk about a couple of horses you have in today. You've got Factor In and the Rosenberger Memorial at Delaware. This is kind of a neat horse. Is it? You got this horse late last year, late in her 3-year-old season, and all she's done since is win 4 out of 7 starts for you and really run a bunch of good races. Are you happy this race came off the turf, or were you going to be happy either way?
You know, I was going to be okay either way, but I did feel like on the main track, you know, the race falls apart a bit, so that always makes you feel better. You know, the one question mark with this filly today is if she handles, you know, the sloppy racetrack. She hasn't had great races in the slot, but also, you know, the time I ran her, it was 7/8. That's not really what she wanted that day as far as distance goes. So, you know, I'm excited to see her go, you know, a mile and a 16th in the slop today. I think she can handle it going the proper distance.
Yeah, it seems like her PPs kind of say that she wants 2 turns, it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, early on, you see she tried the mud, you know, as a maiden and things like that. But I don't know because I didn't have her, you know, back then. So I don't see any reason why she wouldn't handle it today based off of how she trains.
Has she surprised you as effective as she's been since she came to you?
Honestly, yes. When she first came in, you know, I thought, okay, this would be a fun little filly. She has some conditions and, you know, we'll see what we can do with her. We ran her on the dirt, which was never by design. It came off and she, you know, she handled it and she likes the dirt. So it was a nice thing to see. And, you know, she seems like she's just gotten better. Maybe it's age, you know, whatever it is. Again, my team's done a great job with her. So maybe she just likes the, you know, the lifestyle and, you know, she enjoys her job.
All right, so that's Factor In. She's 4-1 morning line in the Rosenberger Memorial at Delaware Park, which has, as we just mentioned, come off the turf mile on a 16th on the main track. You got another youngster by the Factor that you're scheduled to run in another off-the-turf race today, and that's Roan Burgundy. This is he won at First Asking at 1-2 odds. He was getting a lot of love from the betting public. How much of that was from your ownership group?
I don't know, honestly. You know, he had been working well. You know, it's hard to say who had eyes on him in the morning, to be fair. You know, yeah, we always liked him. So I wasn't surprised to see him bet that much, but they also have to walk over there and you know, bring their A game, especially first time out. You know, anything can happen with a firster.
What is it, you know, you had mentioned that you liked him from the get-go. What is it sort of specifically that you were seeing from him that told you he might be sort of better than average?
You know, he always handled whoever he was working with, you know, and he could best them, you know, not that we let him go on and smoke his company, but he, you know, the way he always did everything, it was always easy for him in hand. He came back like it wasn't a big work. You know, everything just mentally, you know, he's kind of a, you know, fun personality type Colt. But, you know, he's always been very, you know, very mature mentally, and he always handled everything and just, you know, stepped forward and, you know, knock on wood, never had a setback.
Now you had him entered in the Futurity. He started off sprinting dirt. That's a two turn grass race, except now it's coming off and it's going to be a one turn mile on the main track. And I know it's early days, but where do you imagine his future is?
You know, it's funny. It looked like a good spot to enter, based off of the weather, you know, hoping that we would get the 1 mile today on the dirt. You know, it just seems like a nice step in the progression. Not that I don't think he could turf, fair enough. I mean, some of the factors, you know, do handle the grass, so that wasn't necessarily the goal, but I didn't hate the idea either. But looking at the weather and you know, how the field might, you know, kind of fall apart and the money, I thought today would be a good time to try and stretch him out. I think he does want to go further. And he's a big colt, you know. He works well. His gallop outs are always really, really good. So, you know, I thought the mile would be right in his wheelhouse.
We're gonna let you go momentarily, but I wanted to ask you this. You know, you've had a number of really sort of high quality horses over the last couple of years. Hello, Beautiful, Where She Told Me to Go, Wonder Where Craig Is. I wonder if there is a little bit below the radar horse that you have particularly fond either feelings for or memories of.
I'm sorry. Can you ask that again?
I was wondering if you have sort of a below the radar horse, not like the Hello Beautifuls and Where She Told Me to Go to the World, but a little bit lower profile horse that you have particularly sort of fond feelings for.
Yeah, actually it was Sheldon I's first winner that we had together, who obviously is not racing anymore, but a horse called Always that broke his maiden first time out. And, you know, Sheldon actually found him after he had been claimed away and, you know, went through the line a bit, and he found him and got him back for me. And he's actually my stable pony up at Delaware. So, you know, he is super special to us, and it's just nice that we can still have him in the barn.
We're going to have the whole family out. Edie and Rye going to be out for to see Roan Burgundy today.
You know, actually, no. I just picked the kids up and dropped them with Sheldon's mom. So we have a sitter for the day. We have a busy day. It's not too nice out. So they're going to have to watch from home today.
All right. Brittany Russell, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time with us on a Saturday morning. And good luck this afternoon.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Nick, that was Brittany Russell. Trainer's got Roan Burgundy factor in today, Where She Told Me to Go yesterday. Lots of good stuff going on with that barn.
Yeah, I mean, just Edie and Rye and Sheldon and Brittany in the winner's circle at Colonial Downs. Remember that win? All their children there, literally watering down horses with babies in their arms and stuff. It's just a great family and just a real asset. What racing is really all about.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. You know, as guys like us get older, it's nice to see that generation, you know, coming along with the kids and kind of seeing some new blood getting involved in the sport. So it's fun to see that.
Good job on the Hurricane Dodgeball, by the way. Was kind of thinking about you last week as Ian moved through the Caribbean, but no impacts on the storm on your travels, huh?
No, thank you. Now Curacao is off the coast of Venezuela, so it's a little bit out of Hurricane Alley. So Curacao missed it completely. It was sunny and beautiful every day. And then we flew in through Miami and we kind of, I think we kind of got there. It was raining, but we got there just ahead of the serious weather. So we were pretty fortunate how that all shook out and happy to be back. But, you know, if somebody said I had to spend a few more days in Curacao, I wouldn't have complained about that either.
Yeah, so. I wouldn't think so. Well, welcome back, Frank. We're glad to have you back, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Nick.
Great. Frank Vespi, living the dream there. Brittany Russell on Off to the Races. Big day ahead as we reach out for Derby Bill. Just recapping a little bit from last week, Butch Reed, who we had as a guest on Off to the Races, had a very big day slated. Got a lot of place checks, if you will, for his training interest, and actually won two races as well. Eloquist won at a nice price early in the card in the third race with Paco Lopez aboard. Paco Lopez also came back and won for Cassius King with Butch Reed, of course, with riding with Biden, who paid about $20. I think it was $19.20 going a half mile on the dirt in a Greenwood. So a good day for Butch Reed last week at Parks. And but yeah, reaching out for Derby Bill here on Off to the Races. We're going to go up to Shenandoah Downs and look at handicapping the feature up there. As you heard earlier in the show, Debbie Warnick is reported that they got a little bit more rain than we got here in Charlottesville. Wherever you are in Virginia, hopefully you're doing all right through the storm. We got a lot of wind here, not as much rain. But up at Shenandoah Downs, the feature race is a $10,000 open that has a field of 7, and Derby Bill, who's handicapping the races up there at Shenandoah Downs this year, joins us on Off to the Races. And you know, Derby Bill, we've come up with this bumper music, this intro music for him. Let's see what he has for us this week.
And now the hammer comes down.
And Derby Bill, a little bit of a rock and roller, likes his rock a little harder than most, and he's got the hammer comes down. Now, the obvious link would be for Roger Hammer, but I sense there might be a little bit more to this. Derby Bill, what's the background on Hammer Comes Down?
Well, the hammer comes down. So the 2022 version of AC/DC. It's a group called 100 Watt Vipers, Nick. You're going to have to check them out. 100 Watt Vipers, and they are 100 watt and ear buster. If you're driving down the road and you have to drive all the way up to Shenandoah Downs or somewhere like that for 3 hours, put this one in the CD player and you'll get there faster. Just like Roger Hammer. I mean, 73 years old. I met him back in Colonial Downs when he won the Patriot Trot, $100,000 Patriot Trot at Colonial Downs with Vivid Photo was the trotter, and real nice guy. And you know, that was many, many moons ago at Colonial Downs. I think 2005 or something. It was a $100,000 race back then. Was pretty big for Selkies. So, and yesterday he won too. So figured I'd give him a little tribute with some rock and roll.
Yeah, how about that? It kind of sounds like Frank Vespi's Living the Dream. Intro music starting to blend a little bit on Off to the Races. Maybe I can get on board with a little bit of harder stuff.
Hell's Bells, baby. AC/DC is my music. You can always play AC/DC Hell's Bells for Derby Bill.
Oh, you got it. This fourth race has a field of 7. Roger Hammer does not have a horse in this field, it looks like. Not assigned in the fourth race. We'll make that our feature for our Shenandoah race of the day. But a field of 7 and a horse I kind of like in this race. I just remember calling this winner several times last year. Freak on a Leash, one of my favorite names in harness horse racing. I kind of like this 2-horse a little bit. Looks like he's going to get a little bit of price. I think that's 9-2 in the morning line. Who do you like in the fourth, the feature at Shenandoah today?
Yeah, that horse is Freak on a Leash is named. I think your wife named that horse after you.
Why so?
Hey, you're a freak, and she put you on a leash. So
she listens to the show now.
She'll get a kick out of that one, that's for sure. Yeah, it's got a little value there on Freak on a Leash. Tyler Shane Shahan, the jockey, is won the leading driver, not jockey, driver out there at Shenandoah last year. His team usually comes up nice, and this horse has won a couple already at the Freak on the Leash. But it's a tough field here for 10 grand. They're going for 10 grand, so it's a co-feature of the day. So that's probably why you chose it. Major Omen looks like the choice here. Art Major's six-year-old. They definitely, this one's a solid feature race. The morning line guy up there does a headache. I don't think he has any horse in this race over 6-1. So, yeah, that tells you it's pretty competitive up there. But you got to get the lead and you got to get out front. The eight horse, the eight hole hasn't won a race yet. So, and the seven has won like one. So you've got to be on the inside. It's an inside favoring bullpen up there. So I'm going with a Major Omen. I can't beat him. So I'm going to, Riverside, California bred. So, in tribute to the West Coast, and hopefully the rain holds off, like you said. I think it's going to be fine up there today. They don't have they won't have to go to the windshield wiper helmets.
Let's go where the weather might be a little bit better today. We had Mike Smith on the show earlier. Again, I'll try and handicap some of these races with you. I'm kind of like Hamilton Burger these days. Actually, my only winner last week was from Shenandoah Downs. If you're wondering who Hamilton Burger is, his win percentage is really demented because he always had to go up against Perry Mason. I wonder how he even kept his office. But kind of feel like Hamilton Burger these days with my win percentage. And the eighth race at Santa Anita today is the Awesome Again, a mile and an eighth. The win, then you're in race, $300,000 grade one, a field of eight going to the gate. I do like Royal Ship here just because he's won for me before and gave me a nice price for Richard Mandela. Mike Smith aboard goes up against some nice horses. Country Grammar is the favorite in the race. You got Express Train as well. Who gets the free ticket for the Breeders' Cup Classic?
Yeah, I did have it in front of me, but I think Baffert has four horses in this race. As he's cashing in since that big win at PA in the Pennsylvania Derby last week with Mike Smith.
You're right.
He trying to get himself in a few of these big wins, being as he can't win at Churchill in Kentucky and New York because of other lawyers. But Awesome Again, Royal Ship, your horse there is 3-1. Should be a player in this race, a major player. You can't toss him, and you're using him on top of Country Grammar, obviously the top pick. Baffert and Hernandez are like on fire everywhere, so everywhere they run out west, and you know they own the west. Baffert owns Santa Anita, so I think he is part owner of Santa Anita. Express Train shouldn't have any trouble with the distance. It's 7-2, and then the outsider be Tripoli. Like Tripoli a little bit, Nick, at 8-1 or 10-1, probably by post. It fits well in here. If something happens to the Ship or the Country Grammar, I'm gonna try a little play with the box, Tripoli and the Ship and Grammar, and put them in a box, and hopefully Tripoli beats them late to, you know, get me a $50 bill so I can buy one of them burgers you're talking about.
Yeah, one of those Hamilton burgers. I wonder if anybody's ever put that on the menu before. But yeah, you're right. Baffert has Azul Coast, High Connection, Country Grammar, and Defunded all in that race. Let's go out to Churchill. Don't want to leave that behind. The Lucas Classic is today, a mile and an eighth. This is another win, and you're in race. And this only has a field of six, including a Virginia bred Chess Chief, who will be a long shot for a Dallas Stewart bred at Morgan's Ford Farm up in Front Royal, Virginia. It has the Derby winner, Rich Strike. For Eric Reed, Sonny Leone gets them out there. Hot Rod Charlie, though, these horses, you know, Rich Strike is facing older horses for the first time. You have Happy Saver in this race with Todd Pletcher, Art Collector, coming off the Charlestown Classic win. King Fury, even though it's six, it is a very tough field. What do you think about the Lucas Classic today?
Yeah, it's highly competitive with the 8-5 Hot Rod Charlie, a little bit underpriced there, and then Art Collector 2-1, probably the hottest horse coming out that Charlestown romp. I mean, he loves the bullpen. We'll see what he can do with Churchill on Art Collector. I'm not going to go past Art Collector in this race. Happy Saber and Rich Strike, probably 6-1 or more, as the Derby favorite makes his reappearance and signs autographs, and they prance him around all day at 6-1, justifiably as the Derby champ. But I'm going with Art Collector on top. Might hopefully get in 5-2, you know, get about $7 on him, be a hell of a price. So I like that one, and then save some money for the Champagne Stakes, the Kentucky Derby road race up in Belmont at the Big A with Gulfport in it. We don't see Damon's Mound in it, Nick. Damon's Mound still in my top 10. Still in my top 10 for the Kentucky Derby, though, Damon's Mound. But Gulfport also in my top 10. So Gulfport's going to race against Verifying at the Champagne up in New York today. So barring the weather issues, Gulfport finally get off the snide and win one today on the dirt to get back into the Derby picture for the Breeders' Cup too.
Yeah, that's also a win in your in race, a mile going one turn there. So I do like Richie, by the way, up at Churchill today. I just like the angle of him coming back, as you mentioned, back to Churchill's. It just seems to be a different track. I like Verifying here as well, justify a colt that, you know, might break through as well. What else do you like here? We'll give you maybe last pick of the day here.
Probably have to go to maybe the Frisette at the Big A today, or the Pilgrim. I'll probably go to the Pilgrim because it's interesting, right? More interesting, and it's on the turf. If they're keeping them on the turf too, the two big at Belmont today, so the weather's not too bad up there. I'm going with a horse called Fly Right, number one. Fly Right, just remember JetBlue or something. Fly Right,
okay.
Should love the distance. So plus a 6-1 price, Nick. You'll like that.
I do. Thanks, Derby Bill. Want to thank everybody who was on the show today. Debbie Warnick joined us from Shenandoah Downs up at Woodstock. We also had Mike Smith, who got up early for us. We appreciate that, Mike. Appreciate that, Hall of Famer. Brittany Russell talked with Frank Vespi today, and, of course, Derby Bill. James Flowers, great job today. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. We'll have all the results and talk to you next week. Off to the races, post time, 10 o'clock.